Yeah, vielen Dank.
Yeah, well, thank you for thanks a lot. Our audio and video technology needed as much time as the various attempts to chat control, it seems. The fact that I'm standing here with Markus is a bit of a fateful fact because we do seem to have a lot of image and sound. So in 2022, Markus wrote that we need a bit more than position papers and open letters. That made me say, well, who would like to get organized and do things against chat control? And since then, 3 years have passed. Oh, we do have video problems. 3 years have gone by. It seems like everywhere there are issues. Let's try your computer, maybe. No problem at all. Don't we have another adapter we can use to fix this? Very elegant. It seems like all good. No stress. Just keep talking. So, once we have an image back, I can tell you that 3 months, 3 years, 7 months and 16 days have passed. I've counted it. It's been a long time. This whole story started in May 2022.
Ja, das sieht gut aus für uns.
This looks good. And Anna has already said that Markus wrote more than 200 articles at netzpolitik.org. It's actually more than 300 now on netzpolitik.org. Many of them are leaks, which have given us, revealed a lot of information to us. So a huge thanks in general to the netzpolitik.org editorship. And I'm still surprised by that so many people come to this talk because it feels such a, well, you tend to kind of get sick of it. How many of you feel the same way? Quite a lot of people are showing up. And we have too often clicked on play on, but we don't want to have the fun taken away from us. And this would be a talk. What would a talk be at the Congress without an award ceremony or this particular award ceremony? So welcome to the premiere of Chat Control Scandal Awards 2025. So, we want to award actions by the proponents of chat control, things they did to enforce chat control or to push it through, and we have five categories for that. Our first time that we do this, and dear Markus, we'll start with the award for the most brazen lies, and that prize, that award goes to, perhaps one of you can guess it already, Eva Johansson. This is the EU commissioner that gave us chat control in the first place, who clearly said chat control is not a surveillance tool. Encryption is not going to be broken, and that would be, this also would be the only way to protect children. The next category, the most scandalous advertising, and this goes to Ylva Johansson. We don't have a lifetime award, sadly. She would have received that one too. But she gets this award for the use of micro-targeting. The EU Commission back then, in countries that had a majority against chat control, she had advertising sent with a political and religious filter, all full of suggestive questions, making sure that chat control would be accepted. That was a very nice piece of advertising. And the award for the fastest lobby date goes to, and I'm sure you can guess it already, fastest lobbying meeting goes to Ashton Kutcher. Within 30 minutes, he had a lobbying date with the Commission and a place to park his limousine in the garage, the underground garage. Important bit of information at this point. And you might be asking yourself whether we have had a meeting with the Commission on this. The question is, the answer is no. We had this wonderful website, Help Ilva, has Ivar Johansson met yet? The answer is still no. Yeah, and we move on. We move forward in time a little too. This is the discrediting category. And this goes to Peter Hummelgaard of the Danish Council Presidency. So the time when the Danes had the presidency of the EU Council. And he had this wonderful quote, surveillance is freedom. And also in a press conference, he suggested to journalists to follow the money, because in the end, all these digital activists, of course, are all sponsored by big tech, and following the money is quite a good idea, actually. And that's a good keyword for the next category, which is the best lobby financing, because there are a few journalists who did follow the money, and there were some European media that uncovered the fact that there's a big network of chat control proponents that were financed to the tune of $24 million. That includes governments, business representatives, and so-called NGOs, and they have access to the EU Commission. And now, enough of the awards, perhaps. We could have awarded a few more, but we have a bit of time left, too. And we do accept nominations for the next few years as well. So where were we in terms of chat control? Well, for EU politics explanations, that's what we are responsible for. We have our own chaos medium, and this is the structure of the European Union, nicely depicted, and we are at this little sidetrack now, the trilogue. In the trilogue, the EU Council, the Parliament, and the Commission negotiate the final text of a piece of legislation, and you may remember, for this, it needs a position from the various entities. And when I was here the last time, 2 years ago, we had no position from the EU Council yet, but we had one from the Commission, obviously, because they proposed these laws, and the position from the Parliament was there too. And for all of you who have not been watching this serial for the last 16 hours, a reminder why this fight is so important, because it was all about, very much about, the scanning of end-to-end encrypted communication. So to run through it quickly, normally if you can communicate in an end-to-end encrypted way, this is how it looks, and that makes to have your communication be confidential and secure, you need to have a good solution that does not require you to trust a server, and you still have to trust your device. And the Commission made a suggestion, a proposal, which attacks because, well, this is of course about all about the protection of children and the prevention of child abuse imagery. The idea was to scan for known material and for unknown material through machine learning magic. That's why I put the stars there. And grooming, which again would include more machine learning, and irrespective of the questions about recognizing this material through machines and the error rates here, there's another precondition, because the scanning was then supposed to happen in every kind of interpersonal communication, and this image was supposed about this, what this proposal amounts to, that would presuppose that we all have a digital shadow that reads everything in our devices and then forwards it if the algorithms decide that there is something suspicious going on. And that's what you call client-side scanning. And again, here you see how this works. This happens on your device in principle, so there is a this layer of being able to trusting your device has completely been broken by now, and all confidential communication is just become an absurdity. So in the proposal of the Commission, there was quite a lot more. And that is an issue that has been engaging us quite a lot recently regarding app stores and other things, upload filters, age verification, and network internet blocking, which I think for 20 years we've had to deal with, and that completed this package. That was the proposal by the Commission. That was the worst from all worlds, really. And the Parliament then went ahead and agreed to a different position. First, they said that encrypted communication must not be scanned. Client-side scanning was rejected, but so-called targeted scanning, if permitted by a judge, was supposed to be still possible. And then they also said that it would be important, they actually excluded scanning for grooming behavior. So this is only about material, because if you scan for grooming, that would mean that any text you communicate would have to be scanned, and that is quite an effort to do. But what still remains, even in the Parliament's position, and I would like you to keep that in mind when we come back to the trilogue, what remains is the whole issue of internet blocking as a voluntary measure, obligatory age verification for porn platforms, then the EU Center. The question is always, when you scan for this material, who is responsible for searching it, looking through it? And there is this EU Center, which is tightly coupled to Europol. And the question there was, what would actually happen to the material? There was a talk earlier that made quite clear what this means to people affected by sexual abuse if a large number of people have an insight into this material. And this was quite difficult for the people affected. And the last thing that was still to be included would be a low threshold reporting mechanism, so that people would have ways of reporting and getting help as well with a low threshold. So far so good. That is what we had in 2023, and since then a lot has happened, and we are going to go through the Council Presidency turnaround, because the presidency changes every 6 months, and by now we have gone through 8 presidencies since we are active in this. That's quite a lot. And the latest thing was in 2023 we stopped, and now we're going to continue the story, and we go on with Belgium. Right. Belgium, in March 2024, tried to introduce a new proposal, which I would like to call Schrödinger's encryption. They were not forcing providers to provide access to encryption, but they said they knew certain technologies that could be used in advance or afterwards. Asking back through the leaked document, you couldn't really find out what they meant. 2 months later, Belgium said, oh, the whole thing is now called upload moderation. And this fantastic compromise idea is now that in the Messenger or the email software, you are able to say, okay, I'm not going to send any images or videos, and that will then exclude me from upload moderation, and otherwise you would have to agree to it. That wasn't accepted. Again, Germany had pressure. That was still the time of the Social Democrat, Green and Liberal coalition in Germany before the current one. And you have to say, have to remember that when the council is to pass a proposal, you have to they first check whether there is going to be a majority. And that is why we always kept looking at the agenda of those meetings, because we didn't know all the member states' positions, although the protocols that were leaked did give insights. So we always had to press refresh on the agenda. And if chat control was on the agenda, it would be a bad thing. If it had been removed from the agenda, that would be good, because then the compromise would still be in force. And then on the 19th of June 2024, Belgium took chat control off the agenda. And we kind of were relieved once again. Then this was also the time when Eva Johansson, who has received those many awards from us just before, took her hat and then gave her goodbye. And she made Chat Control her own project very much, and her successor is not so much after it. Of course, and inviting all those lobbying organizations, that wasn't happening anymore. But someone who had gladly taken up the helm was the Council Presidency, which was Hungary then. And they simply said, well, the problems we have for finding a majority don't matter to us, we don't care. We are simply going to include obligatory search for known content and voluntary searches for unknown content and grooming, and everything else we don't really care about. And that led to, well, surprise, surprise, the situation that the Netherlands said, no, that is simply not on, and that is not compatible with our positions. And that was actually the Netherlands Secret Service that said that. And that led to, well, we know what's going to happen. We were checking the agenda yet again. And, well,
and so, well, it's down on the agenda, and so one presidency won, and next up is Poland. Yes, Poland is next, and it was, beside Germany, one of the few countries with many inhabitants that was opposing it. It was against the mandatory chat control. So they are opposing now the voluntary chat control. But those in favor say that's not enough. The EU members should get closer than ever before. So, more or less, this is not a compromise.
Genau, wir machen eine kurze Werbeeinschiebung, gesponsert von Thomas Lohninger.
So, we make an advertisement intermission.
EU Policy 101, die beiden kennen sich deutlich besser aus.
Policy 101, by those two who know each other quite better than anyone else. The majorities in the meantime looked like this. And now you would say, oh, oh well. Good.
Das ist ja irgendwie relativ eindeutig.
That's quite clear. So why didn't they manage to do any other proposals instead? So how do they get now a qualified majority? To reach this, they need at least 15 member states, which represent at least 65% of EU population and are in favor of the file. If you want to find out if this works, there is a small voting calculator that can help find out if it works. And this calculates if this would work and goes through or not. The word blocking minority, my favorite word in the terms of chat control.
Nun ja, damit hatten wir irgendwie wieder
with this, with the blocking minority, we have still the same block solidified to block it. But then still there was the motto surveillance is freedom of the Council Presidency. More or less it wasn't quite creative. Instead, they just re-proposed all the things that Hungary did before. They tried to borrow some things from the Belgians before and said, yeah, and all the difference shouldn't be a problem. And then, because of a leak, we found out they want a partial direction of this file in between. And then after beginning the Council Presidency, they changed quite well and decided in one direction. They put it quite high on their agenda. and got also a bit nervous as it didn't progress. To the end of the presidency, they saw, okay, now it's getting close to the end, and now the blocking minority changed, so Germany changed the government, so how is it looking now? So from Germany, for example, there came an answer that didn't have an answer at all. And so we asked in September and October, what's the position of Germany in the Council? And we didn't get any answer about any option at all. So we asked directly the Interior Ministry, and we got an answer that didn't contain any positioning. So we didn't know anything.
Das dachte ich mir vor allen Dingen. Ich saß gerade irgendwie in Brüssel auf dem Weg im Zug zurück.
So I was on my way back to Brussels.
Und dann war ich auch schon sehr alarmiert und auf einmal
I was also alarmed.
Trudelte dann aber
then we received the message that Meredith Whittaker wrote that Signal would leave the European Union market if this compromise text would be adopted. And there were other service providers that also said similar things. And we had the impression that in a greater part of the population was affected by this. So it's all about the sausage. It's just a standard stock photo. And we have asked all kinds of organizations what their position is with regard to chat control. And then there was suddenly a petition and people have been called by phone and the media was really interested. And then WhatsApp also said that they are against it. Then also the ECHO and the German Child Protection Organization said that they are also against it. And yes, the German Child Protection Organization has always been against chat control. And they also said for this new proposal that this is all too far reaching. And we knew that we managed to suffocate this proposal. And even the Pharmacy magazine in Germany, they reported on it. So we are a bit disappointed that we didn't get into the chaos Bild, but we managed to get into the regular Bild-Zeitung. But we can't show this image because of our understanding of not supporting the platform of Bild. And I tooted that you should tell your grandmother about this, and maybe you did it, and maybe some grandparents from Against Right are here in the audience. And we started a petition, which went really, really well, very, very fast. And we had to use a big pen, 321,971 signatures in a very short time. We wanted to hand over the signatures to the Interior Ministry, and we waited and waited and waited. And finally, one of the workers, one of the employees, came out and and accepted the signatures. And we also have a talk from one of the German politicians in the parliament, and he complained about the big volume of emails that he received. Yes, it really paid off to write to your representatives. And after we had the debate where politicians claimed that we were just bots, we now see that the politicians actually recognize our voice, and they are also afraid of emails now. And this is something that I didn't expect. And it got even worse. So we were of the same opinion as Jens Spahn. So you read this in the Bild tabloid, and it was really surprising. And Rainer Wendt also said that he would no longer support it. And the pressure was just too high, and then the Ministry of Justice, who said that no, they will not support this compromise text. And now she is working on data retention, so we're not completely happy. And she basically took the initiative before the Interior Ministry could say anything. And the Interior Ministry also made a statement. Chat control without prior suspicion is not acceptable for us. Well, what does mean without suspicion? This is something that politicians don't like to use so much. And there are legal details that need to be analyzed or considered. And what does it mean? So if you have the intention to detect abuse material, then it's not entirely clear what without prior suspicion would mean. And we would prefer that we actually had an active and clear commitment to protected private communication. And after the ministries announced that they are against chat control, and then the permanent representatives in Brussels, they were rather dissatisfied with the position of the German government. And normally it is the case that the representatives have to adhere to the position of the government.
Law Enforcement Working Group aushandeln. Und diese deutsche Vertretung hat dann gesagt,
and the German representative then said, well, it's not about chat control, it's about child protection, and to have no regulation at all is no solution either. Also, mostly, they criticized that what they said was a loud internet community and a few large corporations who would create far too much pressure, and that would captivate the political agenda and move and shift it completely. And according to them, child protection organizations would have such a hard time getting heard, despite the $24 million. So let's remind ourselves of those lobbying meetings that they had, and we didn't have these. So, but then we thought, okay, what can we do especially well? And we did actually copy an idea. They did that, and they simply reused it. They completely took over what the Polish presidency had suggested, and that is not such a long time ago, and I wouldn't have thought that it would come so quickly. To have all the states agree to voluntary chat control. And what does voluntary mean in this context? Sounds a bit like without prior suspicion, right? What they envisage is voluntary scanning after for of images, text, URLs, and videos. So many of you will now ask themselves, URLs, what? And the assumption in this idea of scanning URLs is that links are to be searched that would point to data troves that contain child abuse images. And, well, to redirect URLs is quite easy. Videos, images, the same issue as before. Technically, it's quite error-prone. And then they agreed on age verification for app stores. And that again raises the question, what does that actually mean for open source projects and app stores? Are they affected? If they are, do they have to implement it? And apart from that, everything remains in the Commission proposal. And you could then say, well, voluntary scanning, we have that already, that's okay. You could say, no. That is actually in violation of European laws, and what that is in detail we'll talk about later. But what you have to remember, if you then accompany these trilogue negotiations, you have to keep asking that age verification has to be protected, and risk minimization, risk categorization must be clear. Because age verification cannot be so voluntary. If you are then told, if you're in a certain risk category, you have to implement it. And the same goes for, that was about client scanning, and the same applies to age verification. It has to be really voluntary, not mandatory. And fundamentally, our demands go much further because we do not want age verification, but instead we would like to start to work against all the harmful mechanisms of the platforms and create a space in which we are all safer and where we don't have this claim that with age verification the internet will be safer, because then that is kind of a false security that everyone will feel, and you will not suddenly become competent or invincible once you reach the age of 15 or something. Also, in general, I've already said it, voluntary scanning still is mass surveillance, although it still falls under the exceptions of the existing e-privacy directive. So it will be quite a tough trilogue, and the risk is generally very high to have a law in the end that is extremely complex. So we have to keep a very close eye on this. That was all a bit dry and a lot of theory, and we'll now come to a nicer topic. How did we actually manage to go through 8 presidencies and keep them off this idea? It can't have been just for our tweets, right?
Yeah, despite the negotiations coming to us the last months, we're supported by a lot of people, which came with a lot of different measures against chat control. Let it be the team in Brussels, or the Child Protection Kinderschutzbund, or people who were with posters in stadiums, or Netzpolitik.org, which reported on the subject, or the IT Economy Union, who's put efforts against it. And all this cooperation supported the resistance against the chat control, although there wasn't that much protest on the streets. And this also with the chat control stoppen in the CCC, which showed all our fight.
And 40 other organizations.
This is just a step. We tore the venomous tooth, the most venomous tooth of the chat control, but we still have to move on.
I think
the effectivity of social movements all need motivation in this political movements, to where each political player takes a different role, and all together they build up a mosaic who works together and develops political force. And so it's here about all the individual actors who worked against chat control and strengthened themselves. And this we also have to use against the damned fascism that is at our doorstep and fight on. This means that we have to ally ourselves so and show that even political victories are possible, even in this very shitty times. If we can cooperate, we can even fight against fascism and protect this world. And this power shows themselves again and again if we cooperate. And still there is some things we have to fight together, like our strengths, our diversity, and our broad side of political movements. Especially also here, we have to fight against fascism. But back.
Zurück zur Chat-Control.
Back to the chat control.
Genau. Vielleicht an dieser Stelle.
Perhaps at this place, we talked to a lot of children protection organizations, which is a quite fruitful cooperation and quite good exchange to support also other organizations that don't have that strong a voice. For example, the Independence Day is a good step in this direction to develop critical positions for these political fights and win them, or at least stand together, that it doesn't come to the worst. But still we come to the big but. Always when negotiating an EU file, nothing is agreed until everything is agreed. This is especially true for all the organizations, as, for example, Netzpolitik.org reports. This means, okay, well, let's all look at our calendar and put something down for the work together action for you all. We start all in next January, and you think January, still there's some holidays left. Nobody is in the parliament. What do they want to do? Well, there is one exception that allows scanning, and it's still in place, but runs out in soon. So they are afraid from a gap in regulation, which would make now this possible. If we don't close the regulation gap, and if we go into the trilogues and agree on a voluntary chat control, then scanning would be possible. This would be chat control 1.0. These would be then up to discussion in January. Would be a delayed Christmas present by the Commission, which tried to apply for a prolongation of this chat control regulation.
The Commission has many mandatory rules to gather data, because there's always this question whether or not it is legally permissible. And we have only received two reports by the Commission on this chat control version 1.0. And the big question is, of course, is it proportionate to scan everyone's communication, even if it is voluntary? And the first report came 2023 in December. It was a couple of months too late. Actually, yeah, so 4 months too late. And in the end, the conclusion was that there was no evidence that the law was not proportionate, but there was no evidence to back it up. And they had to present a second report, which was again 3 months delayed. And the conclusion is that there's not enough data to give a clear answer to the question of proportionality. And there will be another vote in January on the extension. And people should point out that there are these reports. And the Commission has been quite unscientific when it came to false positives rates and other performance metrics in these reports.
But
they say that, yeah, there is not enough data, but we really, really want this voluntary scanning. And then there's the trilogue, which is the negotiation between the Council, the Parliament, and the Commission. And they will produce this wonderful four-column document where you can see the different positions from different institutions, so Parliament, Commission, and Council. And on the in the last column will be so here you see the counter position in this column, and then you see things have been removed. So there's two steps. There's the technical trilogue, where they negotiate some things, and then there's also the political trilogue afterwards. And the important dates are the 26th of February and the 4th of May, and finally the 29th of June, where we have the political trilogues. And we will see if, I'm curious if this will be a blockbuster thing like the AI Act. And we've already been working on this for 4 years. And it is a marathon.
Das heißt, hier um diese Daten herum,
and around these dates, it is important to voice your opinion, to reach out to representatives, and to talk to other people who are not technical, and to raise these points, which are the minimal requirements that we consider important. And afterwards, after the trilogue, it's not completely over. The Parliament also has to approve the new compromise text. And we might be able to affect this process. And that means get active, write to your representatives, your politicians, both on the national and on the EU level. Do research, figure out who is responsible in your electoral area. And this QR code leads to the chat control stoppen website. And of course, it's easier said than done to say, become active. And that's why Konstantin and me will do a self-organized session in Lecture Hall 6 at 23 o'clock, where we will answer questions, where we will explain what the decisive issues are. And I think it's really important to work specifically during these dates. It's not not optimal to be continuously loud, but it's better to be more targeted and to increase the pressure at the right moment.
Right.
Die Chat Control ist jetzt der nächste Zombie quasi.
Chat Control is now the next zombie, we could say. That's always the case with these projects. You have data retention. You completely eradicated it, and it comes back all the same. And this is the next zombie that we will have to keep fighting continuously. In the years and years of the crypto wars, which hackers of many generations have already fought, we have to keep at it because the next projects of mass surveillance are already in the making. But we can win, we've learned this, and the projects are on track. So what's coming? Well, there is chat control. We've had chat control for a long time, and it's not the only battlefield here in protected communication. One or other of you will have noticed that the Commission published a roadmap for effective and lawful access to data for law enforcement, and that is kind of cryptic, but what they mean is they want more surveillance and more data, and I think tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken, or is it on day three, there'll be a talk by Svea Windwehr and Chloe of EDRI, and what is coming up next, it will be in that talk, and we have to be prepared. And I did say write to your MPs because they have interesting ideas. That was Chloe Barthélemy. No end device on the European market must exist that is even able to show child abuse material and to process it, says a Social Democrat member of the German Parliament. And I then asked him what the idea was, how that should technically work. Didn't receive an answer. Can you do that in a way that conforms to fundamental rights? I asked, and when there was a bit of criticism, a lot of criticism, he replied, well, that was just an idea. It's something that society has to talk about, how we can reach that goal. No idea to reach this in a way that is conforming to fundamental rights. It shows that several years of chat control debate haven't really reached several people, the technical lessons that could be learned from that. And with that, we will release you to your email inboxes. We'll be waiting for your questions, and we will be glad to see you at the active workshop later on. Thank you so much for this little par force ride through the history of chat control, because we were lacking some time. Let's go straight to microphone one.
Thank you for your work and the things you have done. I just want to highlight one name. From the tireless European politician who has been who has really annoyed everyone with the e-privacy things, and it is Patrick Breyer who is responsible for a lot of the successes that we have to celebrate here, and he's unfortunately not here today.
Und Mikro drei.
Microphone three.
Ihr habt ja so ein gewisses sich wiederholendes Muster dargestellt.
You have recognized a repeating pattern.
Habt ihr die Befürchtung, dass
Are you concerned that
es hier eigentlich darum geht, die Zivilgesellschaft zu beschäftigen?
That this is all about keeping the civil society busy. So that this is actually just like a minor battle for the political actors.
Well, I think with all these surveillance projects that are in the making, it's quite difficult to say, to be honest, because there are so many, but of course, an EU legislative process is very long and is arduous, but that doesn't just apply to chat control, but also the AI Act, the Digital Services Act, which are about protecting digital rights. So the same effort there too. So I think you can't quite say it in such an obvious way, but what chat control affects is that the new legislative projects, all these lawful access to data and encrypted communication things, we haven't had much focus on these, so we have to keep an eye on those. I don't think it's just occupation therapy, because the authoritarian turn that we see includes this as a mosaic stone. It's just something that keeps rolling, and I don't know, they put the new pieces into the cogwheel. For all those that leave, please be a bit more quiet. Microphone 4.
I have a question. It was said that voluntary chat control. So for whom is it voluntary, for the users or for the services?
That is a very good question, thank you. It is for the platforms. There is an exception that allows platforms to search unencrypted communication for child abuse images. Or was it encrypted? Not quite sure, says the interpreter. Question hopefully from the Signal Angel?
Signal Angel?
We have the day of technical difficulties today.
Someone is humming the Hacker Jeopardy melody.
I don't know, is that a person at microphone 6 or are you just lunging around there? I will pick you now.
My question is, you talked a lot about chat control and a bit about fascism. What do you think happens when you combine these things? Is that good?
No. No. What do you mean exactly?
What could fascists do with chat control?
Well, it's the same thing as always. If it's about mass surveillance in the digital space, you have a completely ready-made mechanism that is handed over to fascists. You can get all the calls for a demonstration out. You can anything that you want to filter, you don't have to just restrict it to abuse material. Technically, it doesn't really matter what you are filtering for, so you have the ultimate censorship machine there. And again, do you want to say something in microphone 6? Go ahead.
Thank you in the name of thank you from everyone and that you have been very, very insisting and enduring in fighting this fight. Applause.
And because I don't see any further questions, I would like to... here's one.
Thank you for your work. How does it look in other countries in the EU? Is there collaboration?
Short answer is yes. And the long answer is we have EDRI, European Digital Rights. That is the umbrella organization of all European digital rights organizations. And we have a working group there with which we organize the protest across Europe, but it has to be said that nowhere is this debated in such a public way as it is in Germany. We are at the forefront there, usually, which is nice, but it would be nice also if other countries could kind of copy this model, and we're working on that. So if you have contacts to other countries, pass and spread the news. We need allies. Internationalization of protest is very important.
Okay,
and now I think that was the last question. So from me and from all of us, huge thanks for all the work, the organization, and for hopefully continuing this, Khaleesi and Markus Reuter.